Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This is a strange gospel reading for the season of Easter. If we were in charge of picking texts and readings for Easter, we would not choose one about sorrow, lamentation, and weeping, but we would probably pick one of his many post-resurrection appearances, something about glory and honor, something that identifies the great power and strength and victory that our Lord displayed. As we think back to what we have covered already this Easter season, we have seen Thomas, and then our Lord establishing the office of the Holy Ministry to dispense the forgiveness of sins to men. We have then heard last week and have delighted to hear yet again that he is our good shepherd who is with us always. Never will he leave us, but he gently guides us to the green pastures of his word. And now today we come to this. It doesn't quite seem to fit the logical flow. But today, perhaps today we are learning from the church and her wisdom. We are learning how to live in Easter. Today, many people want something that is practical and relevant for their lives, and I would argue that that is what today is about. Easter means that you will have sorrow and tears and lamentation and weeping, but only for a time, only for a little while. And so the idea that Jesus closes one door and yet always opens another, that's not today. The notion that tomorrow will be better than today, again, probably not true. Tomorrow could be far worse than you and I could imagine. But the little while that Jesus speaks about is our whole life from the moment of baptism until he brings us into heaven. To live in Easter is to see no significant change in this world, and yet to believe that everything has changed, that Christ's death and resurrection have remade this world, and yet we see nothing. The world continues on as it has before. Our celebration of Easter on April 9th, 2023 didn't stop the war in Ukraine. It didn't unite Democrats and Republicans. It didn't stop parents from mutilating their children chemically or physically. It didn't stop mothers from killing their children. It didn't stop any of these atrocities that we are all too fondly, that we all too often hear of today. They continue on as if nothing has happened. And yet we hear and believe that everything has changed. And yet then we see in our own lives that our loved one is still buried. Our cancer still attacks. Therapy still dots our schedules. Surgery still happens. Stress still comes. Viruses, allergies, and diseases still bother us. We perceive no significant change. For that one day we felt happy. For that one day we enjoyed gathering with friends and family and hearing the glory that is Christ's and the victory that is ours in Christ. But now the lilies are all dead and gone. And the Easter hymns just don't carry that same joyful punch as they did on that day. Perhaps now you see why the church has chosen this reading for this fourth Sunday of Easter. We need to learn how to live in Easter. It is easy to misunderstand Easter or to experience an Easter letdown because nothing has perceivably changed. Many assume that since we see no change in our lives and since the problems of yesterday are still the problems of today, that Christianity is nothing more than just one of many religions. Something that helps people cope with life on earth and gets us through to tomorrow, whatever tomorrow may be. So it's no wonder why many visitors come on Easter and yet fail to come on the subsequent weeks. They don't quite understand what Easter means. It's no wonder why we can wonder why Christ hasn't yet fixed this or that difficulty or problem, we often fail to remember what Easter means. Like the disciples, we are looking for that earthly kingdom, or at least an earthly peace, something that makes my life better than yesterday. We fail to see rightly. The Holy Spirit must open our eyes to see that this little while is not simply a day or a week or even a year, but this little while is our entire earthly life as Christians. The Holy Spirit must open our mouths to confess that by his resurrection, Christ has not brought death, but he has brought life. He has brought life to the world and life to us. He has brought joy and gladness and rejoicing, not pain, not sadness. He lives as the firstborn of the dead, and he lives to bring you into that victory. Not 50 years from now, but he lives to bring you into that victory right here, right now. Despite what doctors tell you, despite what your body tells you, your limitations and your ailments scream out. Despite all of that, you are not dying. You are living. Your life is not coming to an end, but it has only just begun. As an infant cannot know the full joys of life in this world until he gradually matures and experiences them, so also we do not know the full joys of being a child of God. We are still in the infantile stage of our life with Christ, still figuring out what it means to be a child of God, to be a holy saint in his kingdom. We are still learning and growing in the life that is ours in Christ. This brief earthly life is anything but an end, for our life is hidden away with God in Christ, and we cannot forget that. We cannot forget that Christ is our life, and his life-giving body now permeates ours. We cannot forget that his life permeates this entire world to bring life and immortality to light through his word. Your mind is now reorientated to see what is right and what is true. How quickly, though, we forget. How quickly we forget Easter. How quickly we can let sorrows lead us to worry and despair and anxiety, to throwing up our hands in the air saying, none of this matters. Nothing makes any significant change. And then Christ comes once more with words of life and light. In a little while, you will see me, he says. Now is your time of sorrow. Now is your time to endure cancer, to bury your loved ones. Now is your time for pain and sadness and suffering. But I will see you again. And your hearts will rejoice, and no one can take away that joy from you. Christ will see you again, and that brings you joy. He is with you always to the very end of the age. So where does he see you? Here, as he looks upon you with his favor and gives you his peace. Here in his word, here in his supper, he gazes upon you with those good shepherdly eyes to guide you safely through this little while and into your home of heaven. Nothing can take away that joy, that Christ has come to bestow peace on you yet again, that Christ has come to give you victory yet again. His life permeates yours. He is with you always. Far too many have told me, Pastor, I'm just not that patient of a person. At least you know what sins you have to fight against. It's hard to wait patiently when we see so many difficulties and there's little we can do. For example, we don't like this space. We want our sanctuary back. We miss the sounds. We miss the organ. We miss the windows and the banner. We miss the pulpit. We miss things being where they're supposed to be. We miss the elbow room. It's a special place for us. And we have designed and dedicated it to the glory of God and decorated it so that we see that full glory of God and his victory for us in manifold ways. This house, this hall, has served us well. Here Christ has come to bestow unimaginable gifts on us. Here we join with angels to shake the very foundations of heaven itself, though the ceiling and the walls and everything else mutes our voice. Here we meet our loved ones and all the saints triumphant who have died in the faith. Here is a holy place, because here is where our God comes to us in word and sacrament to bestow that life and victory on us. But it's hard to be patient. It's hard to live with good enough or adequate. It's hard to set aside the full glories and to wait patiently for the full joy and beauty to be given once more. It's hard to be where we don't want to be. But it's only a little while. Soon we will be back where we are supposed to be. But for now, we wait. We're patient. We're content with Christ seeing us, even though we do not see him. Though things are less than ideal, we make the best of what we can. We serve faithfully where we can. There is sadness, but there is also joy. There is discomfort, but there is also peace. There are tears, but there is also laughter. There is death, but there is always life in Christ. And even life with the new birth of children. So perhaps that is what the church is trying to teach us with this fourth Sunday of Easter. To wait patiently for the Lord. Perhaps it's trying to teach us to live in Easter and what that actually means for us. And perhaps, just perhaps, it makes us eager to get back to that place where we were meant to be. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.